Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Meditations on the Song of Songs by St. Teresa of Avila. Continuing Chapter 4. Sisters, I don't know how to go on from here. How can I be yours, my God? What can one who has used so unskillfully the favors you have granted do for you? What can be expected of her services? Since with your help she does something, consider what a poor worm will be able to do. Why does a Lord so powerful need her? Oh, love! How I would want to say this word everywhere, because love alone is that which can dare say with the bride, I am my beloved's. He gives us permission to think that he, this true lover, my spouse and my good, needs us. Since he gives us permission, let us repeat, daughters, my beloved is mine, and I am my beloved's. You are mine, Lord? If you come to me, why do I doubt that I will be able to serve you? From here on, Lord, I want to forget myself and look only at how I can serve you and have no other desire than to do your will. But my desire is not powerful, my God. You are the powerful one. What I can do is be determined. Thus, from this very moment, I am determined to serve you through deeds. Chapter 5 continues to deal with the prayer of union and tells of the riches the soul acquires in it through the mediation of the Holy Spirit. Tells of the soul's determination to suffer trials for the beloved. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 3. I sat down under the shadow of him whom I desired, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. Now let us question the bride. Let us learn from this blessed soul that has approached the divine mouth and been sustained by these heavenly breasts. And we shall learn from it further what we must do, how we must act, what we must say if the Lord is to bring us sometime to the experience of this wonderful favor. What she tells us is, I sat down under the shadow of him whom I desired, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. The king brought me into the wine cellar and set charity in order in me. She says, I sat down under the shadow of him whom I desired. Oh, God, help me. How exposed to the sun and burned by it is the soul. She says she sat under the shadow of him whom she desired. Here she compares him to the apple tree, and she says its fruit is sweet to her taste. O souls that practice prayer, taste all these words. How many ways there are of thinking about our God. How different the kinds of food we can make from him. He is manna, for the taste we get from him conforms to the taste we prefer. Oh, what heavenly shade this is! And who could say what the Lord reveals from it? I recall what the angels said to the Most Blessed Virgin, Our Lady. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. How fortified will a soul be when the Lord places it in this grandeur? Rightly can it sit down and be assured. Now note that for the most part, and almost always, God gives these sublime gifts and great favors to persons who have labored much in his service and desired his love and striven to prepare themselves so that in all things they might be agreeable to his majesty. There may be some exception when the Lord wishes to give some person a special call, as he did for St. Paul, for he brought him at once to the peak of contemplation, and appeared to him and spoke in such a way that immediately that saint was truly exalted. But when souls are worn out from many years of meditation and of having sought this bridegroom, and most weary of worldly things, they sit under the shadow of truth. They do not seek their comfort or calm or rest anywhere except where they understand they can truly have it. They place themselves under the protection of the Lord. They desire no other. And how well they are acting by trusting in His Majesty. For just as they have desired, they sit under His shadow. Fortunate is the soul that merits to remain under this shadow, even from the viewpoint of things that can be seen here below. In regard to things the soul alone can understand, that's something else, as I have often realized. It seems that while the soul is in this delight that was mentioned, it feels itself totally engulfed and protected in this shadow, and kind of cloud of the divinity. From it come inspirations, and a delightful dew, which indeed rightly takes away the weariness that worldly things have caused the soul. The soul feels there a kind of repose that will even make breathing wearisome to it. And the faculties are so quiet and calm that the will would not want them to admit any thoughts, even good ones, nor does it admit any by way of inquiry or striving after them. There's no need to move the hand or raise it. I'm referring to reflection, for anything. For the Lord gives from the apple tree, to which she compares her beloved, the fruit already cut, cooked, and even chewed. So she says that His fruit is sweet to her taste. For in this prayer, all the soul does is taste, without any work on the part of the faculties. And present in this shadow of the divinity, well does she say shadow, since we cannot see it clearly here below, but only under this cloud, is that brilliant sun. This sun sends, by means of love, the knowledge that His Majesty is indescribably close. I know that anyone who has undergone this experience will understand how truly this meaning can be given to these words spoken by the bride. It seems to me the Holy Spirit must be a mediator between the soul and God, the one who moves it with such ardent desires, for He enkindles in it a supreme fire which is so near. O Lord, how great are these mercies You show to the soul here! May You be blessed and praised forever, for You are so good a lover. O my God and my Creator, is it possible that there is no one who loves You? Alas, and how often it is I who do not love You! Why didn't I merit to know You? How low do the branches of this divine apple tree reach, so that at times the soul may take hold of them by reflecting upon the grandeurs and multitude of mercies shown to it, and that it might see and enjoy the fruit that Jesus Christ our Lord drew from His passion, watering this tree with His precious blood, with so admirable a love. Previously, the soul says, it enjoyed sustenance from His divine breasts. As a beginner in receiving these favors, the soul was nourished by the bridegroom. Now it is growing, and He is enabling it to receive more. He nourishes it with apples. He wants it to understand how it is obliged to serve and suffer. And the Lord is not content with all this, something marvelous, worthy of careful attention. For He understands that the soul is totally His, without any other interests. This means that things must not move it because of what they are, but that it be moved because of who its God is, and out of love for Him, since He never ceases to commune with it in so many ways and manners as one who is wisdom itself. In the first kind of peace, it seemed that no more could be given. Yet this favor that was just mentioned is a much more sublime one. It is badly explained, because my only intention is to note it briefly. In the book I mentioned to you, daughters, you will find, if the Lord wills that it be published, the favor explained much more clearly. Well now, what more could we desire than this favor just mentioned? Oh, God help me! How little we desire to reach Your grandeurs, Lord! How miserable we would remain if Your giving were in conformity with our asking. Now let us consider what the bride said further on. Chapter 6 treats of how the benefits of this loving union surpass all the desires of the bride. speaks of the suspension of the faculties and tells how some souls reach this sublime prayer in a short time. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4. The king brought me into the wine cellar and set charity in order within me. Well, now that the soul is resting under the longed-for shadow, and rightly so, what is left for it to desire, unless that it never lack this good? It doesn't think there is anything more to desire. But our most sacred king has still much to give. He would never want to do anything else than give, if he could find receivers. And as I have said often, I want you never to forget, daughters, the Lord is never content with giving us as little as we desire. He grants the soul, in answer to some of its petitions, an opportunity to merit and suffer something for him, whereas the soul's intention was to suffer only what its strength could bear. Since His Majesty can make one's strength increase in payment for the little that one determines to do for him, he will give so many trials and persecutions and illnesses that a poor man won't know himself. This happened to me when I was quite young. Sometimes I would say, "Oh, Lord, I didn't want so much." But His Majesty gave strength and patience in such a way that even now I am amazed at how I was able to suffer. And I would not exchange those trials for all the world's treasures. The bride says, "The king brought me." How appropriate this name, Powerful King, is, for the Lord has no superior, nor will his reign ever end. Surely the soul in such a state will understand much about the greatness of this king, but not everything, since that is impossible in this mortal life. This has been taken from Meditations on the Song of Songs, from the Collected Works of St. Teresa of Avila, Volume 2, translated by Kieran Cavanaugh and Otilio Rodriguez, copyright 1980, by the Washington Province of Discalced Carmelites. For more information, contact ICS Publications at 2131 Lincoln Road Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20002-1199, USA, or on the web at www.icspublications.org.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
In 1967, college students seeking the Lord prayed for a new Pentecost. The Holy Spirit broke out amongst them, rippling throughout the world. The Amazing Grace Catholic Charismatic Conference will celebrate